The Bible reading for the sermon is the text which was read. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for your word, and we pray that your Holy Spirit will be with us to help us understand the meaning of your word for our lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Notice this week we are having texts about the love of God on our first worship service, 15th chapter of John, in a kind of a memorial of Luther, and also in the Lord's Supper when we appreciated the power of God to prepare us for death. Like Simeon, we say, first of all, in the Thanksgiving prayer, we thank God and for this blessing of the sacrament, and also pray that we will be strengthened in our faith relationship to you and in fervent love toward one another. And in the Nunc Dimittis, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to your word. For mine eyes have seen your salvation, a light to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. You notice, a light to the Gentiles. Christianity at Epiphany, at the wise men came, went beyond Judaism to the east. And now, in the text today, yesterday it was the mustard seed, and that's all over. The growth of the church is all over. One time I asked Bishop Dietz Felbinger from Germany, he was West Germany at the time, it was divided, he's once bishop of all of Germany, how come there aren't more people going to church? Oh, he said, it's like the mustard seed tree. They have flown away, but they will come back again. And so there's this hope of growth and faith in Germany too, in their mission festivals especially. Now, as you might know, there were wise people in Northern Europe, so they couldn't have the mission festivals in January. They had them in the harvest season, and they would ride across Europe on the trains and now on the buses. I was there. I went. Oh, they sing hymns. It's an exciting thing, the mission festival. And so, like in the going to the east at the time of the wise men, today the text is, we're going to Europe, and we rejoice. He writes to the Philippians later, rejoice, rejoice, he's yelling. He's so happy. He's from prison. He's in prison. But he's rejoicing. He wants them all to rejoice. Thanks be to God. And may love abound in your lives and grow in your lives. He's so emphasizing love and rejoicing. And so we have that wonderful message in the Mission Festival to the Europeans. And we are especially rejoicing that our barbarian ancestors were converted and civilized. Saved and civilized. Civilized meaning they've acquired an ethic, you know. To be one with Christ meant also that you follow him. You follow his way of life. And that means a lot to us, especially in the Reformation. Now, there are two great things that the gospel encounters and helps people in, evil and death. Like in the seventh chapter of Romans, oh, wretched man that I am. Things I shouldn't do, I do. The things I don't do, I shouldn't do. Where's any help for me? That's a cry for help. The victory is in Jesus Christ. And death. Evil and death. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Rejoice! Now, Paul, you know, as he received this call to start a mission to the Europeans. Well, a call can be both negative and positive. The negative side is there was resistance. These Jews were particularistic for themselves, and they were jealous that Paul and Silas and Barnabas, they were working here in Iconium and Lystra and Derbe, and the numbers of the church, they were growing, and they were jealous, it says. So they stoned him and left him for dead, like the 300 that said they weren't going to eat until they killed Paul in Jerusalem. And so it's a dangerous, it's evil and death. Dürer, in 1513, an artist drew this sketch of this heroic soldier riding his horse. He has a helmet on and a spear and steel armor, and his horse even has armor on. And it's a very explicit message. Because if you didn't get the point, death rides on the right side, and the devil on the other side on his horse. And there's a hunting dog, you know, devil is like a roaring lion, you know. He's hunting us, that hunting dog, and death is a, and in the hourglass, death is holding the hourglass, and the last grains of sand are going down. You know, time is precious, and life is precious, and there isn't much time left. There's an urgency in our ultimate faith relationship to God. Now, Lord Kenneth Clark says that the developing civilization in Western Europe was due to Christianity. Like the Bible reading on the love of God, the first from 15th chapter of John, the first day of this week, Alfred North Whitehead said in a book called The Adventure of Ideas, The History of Religions and Philosophies, the love of Jesus Christ, the Galilean, overcomes all obstacles, like water wears away granite. John Romer, famous British archaeologist and historian today, also covers this history of the development of Christianity, the civilizing of Western Europe, especially. And he says it was because of the resurrection. You know, there was so much infant mortality, and all of these plagues were sweeping across Europe. He says it had the answer to this in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and so it was received. Even Luther, in the 94th and 95th thesis, summing up all of his criticisms of buying your salvation, you know, if we could, you wouldn't need Jesus Christ, and that was about the implication of it, if you could solve death yourself. So he writes in these theses in the 94th and the 95th, 94, Christians should be exhorted to be diligent in following Christ their head through penalties, death, and hell. You know, death on one side on the horse and the devil on the other, evil and death, like Paul too. And number 95, and thus be confident, rejoice, you know, be confident at entering into heaven through many tribulations rather than through the false security of peace. And so what did they encounter? Look, the people couldn't read and write at the time, so they communicated with the beautiful stained glass windows, the stories of the Bible and the statuary and those peaks in the Romanesque and Gothic cathedrals and the arches. So they all were communicating a message. It was like an audiovisual show when they'd go in there. And they would learn these Bible stories and in the sermons. The monasteries, the monastics sent out missionaries across Europe. Quite soon then, you have Constantine and Constantine and Constantinople and all the money that was given for building churches. And 356, the See of Canterbury is established. By 400, Christianity had come to the Irish. Patrick started over 300 missions. And so Christianity saved and civilized. Conversion is the only answer to this faith in Jesus Christ, a stable character in ethics motivated by the gospel. Well, evil and death was experienced in other ways too, and there was a cry for help from Macedonia. I'm thinking, for example, you know, stories we studied as children about Charlemagne and Roland. I thought those were legends. No, they were history. So in a battle in the Pyrenees, Charlemagne has an agreement with Roland, who's heading up the rear guard in the battles against Abbas, Georgetown University professor Soltes, on his lectures on civilization in Europe, says, no, it wasn't only the Spanish, the Basque, he says, it was the Muslims, you know what Luther called the Turks. They were in there too, trying to wipe us out. So death and the devil were riding, and deception. So Roland and Charlemagne had an agreement. Should there be an attack on the rear, Roland would blow the horn, and Charlemagne would come back and help him. There's a deceiver talking to Charlemagne, and the horn blows. Charlemagne says, I hear the horn. No, no, the guy said, that's not what that is. Again, he hears it. No, he says, that's not what it is. So Charlemagne hesitates. And then finally, he knows something's wrong. He goes down, and Roland has already been killed. So it's deception, the devil is the deceiver and the murderer, evil and death. And that follows through. Now, especially the plagues. That was, 20 million killed in a plague that threatened Oberammergau. The response was, in their cry for help to God, that they would be saved and protected, and they were, and they wanted the vow that forever they would put on every 10 years. The dramatized account of the cross, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, is love of God. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, not even death. So it was beyond. It was evil and death. Boniface, the missionary to our German ancestors. I think of those Germans, barbarous Germans. What Paul's writing to Philippians, I thought maybe he had them in mind when he says, their God is their belly. They glory in their destruction and their end. They glory in their shame and their end is destruction. But he says, our citizenship is in heaven. And now there was again the answer coming out as Paul is in prison. I put all things behind me and I strive out like the Olympic runner for the prize when you cross the finish line. It's just like he's coming, crossing, falling over on it, and the crown of everlasting life is placed on him, the victory over evil and death. And so Luther writes about that. Oberammergau sees that as the answer. And we see it, it's not only then, but now also. Just a few weeks ago, we had this month the funeral of Dale Evans. She wrote, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, and which we sing to our grandchildren now and to our children, and they learn it. I was amazed just recently, a little 3-year-old Annie learned that just by singing her to sleep one night. She learned a song, and she couldn't read yet. And so Dale Evans wrote that along with 399 other songs. And you didn't need a plague. She and Roy Rogers had a little girl, a daughter, Down syndrome, died of complication with mumps prior to her second birthday. They adopted an older girl, killed in a bus crash, and their son, serving in the army in 1965, died in Germany. And when her husband died, this is the highest grief you experience. And the death of, when the family circle is broken, the death of a loved one in the family, as Mary and Martha both told Jesus, and Jesus wept when his friend died. And so this extreme guilt then, is in the death of her husband. She lived 2 years longer. We had her funeral, the funeral was this month. And it said, one of the writers wrote, that they were on, she talked about the happy trails, and on the trail they were together again, beyond the sunset. And so, those who lecture on death and dying today, like Kubler-Ross, interviewed by a cynical TV announcer in an interview program, at the end of it he says, well, you believe in life after death? Looked in his eyes and said, she said, without a doubt. And one who lectures today, Bernie Siegel, the medical school professor in the Bay Area of San Francisco and medical doctor, trying to teach the other doctors too. He feels the spiritual power we have, life beyond death. And so he's trying to tell an intern this in one case study that he tells about. He had this patient that was had married 60 years, and that's the highest grief. A long time together in this way, and so he's called to the situation. This old man falls down the stairway in the house and is critically injured. His wife sees that, and that's such a shock to her, she collapses. Both of them are taken to the hospital. Bernie has the man in one room. His intern is in an upstairs, the story up in a room in a hospital. And Bernie said, well, we'll keep in touch with one another to inform the other person of their condition. The man died. Bernie called the intern. He said, her husband died. The intern asked, when? Bernie said, 5 minutes ago. The intern said, his wife died about that same time. Bernie said, this was his last date with her on this earth. He picked her up and took her along to heaven. Amen.